Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
It's a Call of the Midwife After Show, and it's the Hope of Ballroom or the Ballroom of Hope with a broken mirror ball. Does that bode well for the midwives? We'll talk that and more in just a minute.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Call the Midwife. This is our finale for the series, Season 8. And I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hi, everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello, hello.
It was a finale. All right, so let's, overall thoughts, let's talk them real quick. What do we... Tamara?
I got 3 Ds. I didn't shed tears.
Ooh, not good.
I was not devastated. Ooh. And therefore slightly disappointed.
Oh, yeah. And Courtney?
I have to concur.
Look
at
that.
I was pretty underwhelmed,
wow,
actually.
Wow, that's 6 Ds then. So yeah. We got 6 of them. Wow. Yeah, well, I can't disagree. So there's another one.
All right.
It's unanimous over here. Yeah. I wonder how everybody else thought about it. I'm really curious. We'll get some tweets. Please, if you have any tweets or thoughts that you want to share right now, mm-hmm, please do so. Tamara, right?
Yeah, where absolutely. You can tweet me. I'm reading my tweets as
we go. And if you're in the chat room, please share that as well.
Yep.
Our team of Twitterers.
That's right. So we're going to get to all of it. And at the end, Tamara, I think you have some news that you're going to share.
I do.
So
have
want to stick
news
around for that.
Cool. Might
we'll
not
do
be that
at the
new,
end.
But it's news.
All right. So let's get into why, first of all. Let's start off with the, because it's a continuation from last week. We have the story with Val and her gran.
Mm-hmm.
And we even start there when we open up. Val is still devastated. She's in tears. She's smoking. She can't. She has her Lady Macbeth moment where she can't wash the blood out,
right.
Damn spot.
Oh, yes.
So, and of course, Trix is, she's aware of everything, so she's there to console her. And then also to tell her, well, we're going to have to report this.
We
got
to
tell Julian, and not just Julian, but we got to tell the cops.
The police.
Yes.
So we got to bring out. And of course, we already know Val is completely upset about this, and mm-hmm, she's devastated
by
the
thoughts.
She's so
pale.
Yeah, that's true. And they had no makeup on her. She looked hollow and vacant.
Hollow, vacant,
yeah,
upset.
Yeah.
She wasn't sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah.
So both Val and Trixie go and talk to Sergeant Wolf.
Yeah. And they recount everything.
They do.
So they give it up.
Yeah. Yes.
And then I thought in the continuation of that, when she's Val's asked to actually get a picture.
Yeah,
and she has to get her own picture. She's
and
the one that has
to
provide
herself
it.
Out
Not
of
only
it.
Does she ID her, but she's got to get the mugshot.
Jeez. And they can't take a picture until
Yeah, they can't take a picture until
yeah.
she's charged. And then she finds that. And that was a moment for me that was like, oh, that's horrible to
that's
have
harsh.
To find your own picture.
Yeah.
And I like the way they did that. And she doesn't even get up. She's can't even get up.
No, she's...
I need scissors.
Yeah, she's clearly devastated.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
And cutting it and everything like that. Yeah. And then, of course, we see Teresa. She's in her hospital bed. From her hospital bed, that's when she also IDs Gran for what's going on. And mm-hmm, and then the defiance of Gran when she gets arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, take
yeah.
me, you know, hope,
no
take
handcuffs.
Me, yeah, no,
exactly. Neighbors.
Yeah, this has all been misunderstood and, you know, fake news.
Yeah. It's all fake news, but exactly. We found the tools in your little case on your bookshelf.
And the stash of money is probably there. She
didn't try to get rid of the evidence.
Yeah, but I thought she had a really good story.
Yeah.
Don't you think? That
from
was
the,
plausible.
From the
grand.
Standpoint of the woman came to me already.
Right. She had already occurred. And I was just trying to help her out, which is why I called my granddaughter, who's a midwife. I mean, all that made it was very plausible.
She had a great lie.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. Yeah, exactly. And then I guess we kind of take a little detour then, because that's also when we bring in Sister Monica Joan and Sister Frances, because they're part of that storyline.
Well, she pleads not guilty.
True, right.
Gran pleads not guilty, and Val goes to visit, and she won't answer the door.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
thank
Val
you
says,
for reminding me.
Promise me you will stop.
Stop doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. That was nice, the pleading through the door and Gran not opening it. I thought that was great.
And it was a little bit of revelation to see that she had been doing... I didn't realize that Gran had really been doing this for quite
a long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not a new side hustle.
Oh, and we forgot to talk about how Maureen confronted Val.
In the clinic, yeah.
Right.
She gets accosted. Chews her out. She says, "Oh, Valerie, nose in the air. Oh, Valerie, look at me." Mm-hmm. And says, "Blood is thicker than water. You're a stuck-up turncoat who's forgotten whose side she's supposed to be on."
Yes, she did. Boom. But Lucille saved her and said, "This is not a fish market. Take that home." Is that like what happens at a fish market?
Apparently.
There is some rude talk at
rude talking
market.
At fish market. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. I two things I thought was great. I thought everything Maureen said, okay, that felt like somebody from, you know.
For sure.
From the hood.
From the neighborhood would say, oh, yeah. And they never want you to reach too far. Because,
right. Don't,
you know,
don't get too big for your britches.
And I thought it was great that Lucille was there to defend her.
Yeah.
For sure.
Somebody, she's
a woman in uniform who deserves respect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, she is.
Thank God, because we don't usually hear that.
That is true. So not for a nurse.
Yeah, that was great. All right, so the part I was going to get to is that, so we have Sister Frances being very distraught about this, wondering why, you know, because Teresa then eventually decides
not to testify.
Yeah. She's not going to give evidence, but they are going to read her statement, I guess, in court, however they do it. And she's, Sister Frances is very upset by this. You know.
Okay, just before that, though, we have Val, Trixie, and Lucille in that scene outside.
No,
yeah,
she said that.
Sister Frances, like, listened to
No, I think it goes, they're talking about that at dinner, and Sister Frances says something, and then Julian says, "We're not going to discuss anymore." And then they go outside.
Got it.
So, but Sister Frances is the first one that says, you know, can't somebody convince Teresa that this is it's important?
And, yeah.
And that's when Julian puts the kibosh and everything. It's not ours to do that, and we will. It's a fait accompli, and we won't discuss this any further. And then I thought it was interesting that they went outside Nadat's house to have that discussion. Exactly.
Combo, yeah.
Not only will we not discuss it, we won't discuss it in here. Mm-hmm. So they're outside. But, and that's, again, where we get the Val saying, "I can't believe that I'm going to have to testify against my grandmother."
Exactly. And if I do it well, she'll go to prison.
Exactly. She's going to be the one that, you know. And you know, you do get the sense, well, what choices does Valerie have? You know, she's, I'm sure, under what, I don't know what the law is, but she has a duty to say something.
Right.
And, you know, and how do you stop these other women from being hurt, maimed?
Exactly.
Killed.
Yeah. How do you stop that and still protect your grandmother at the same time?
You don't.
And also, you know, be on the side, you know, understand where grandma was coming from to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was providing a service that people were wanting, you know?
Yeah.
Women were wanting.
And, you know,
it's incredibly tricky.
Granted, fixing their lives or helping them?
Because her monologue even last week.
Yeah, last week and the continuation.
Exactly.
This week was great stuff.
All right, so they had that discussion. I like that discussion with the three of them, Lucille, Trixie, and Val. I wanted that to be even longer. I wanted them to really, did you feel that way?
I wanted a little bit more from it. Because we obviously know, like, Val's super upset, and, like, it's sort of like they were touching on, like, what they really think about it, but not really wanting to let them take a position.
Exactly. That's what I thought. When we went outside the house, I thought, oh, we're going to really get into something.
The truth.
Exactly.
Yeah. The truth talk.
And it was like, oh, okay, it was just the cursory stuff.
It just kind of danced around.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I wanted. But then, go ahead, Tamara.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that we see that Sister Monica Joan has a nice conversation with Sister Frances. And Sister Frances, that's when she reveals, you know, all of this stuff about how it affected her when she was recounting the story of Kath. And, you know, she remembers the pain. She remembers the blood. She remembers the smell. She remembers the tears and, you know. And it would be very graphic and visceral, I should say.
Yeah.
And Sister Monica Joan talking about how the fetus had festered and all that stuff. And that even Sister Frances put together the streptococcus thing.
Mm-hmm. And she said, and what part of her frustration is there's so much that we're not allowed to do.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was great. And then even Monica Joan, I mean, that seemed like the old guard, new guard kind of thing. But she says that ours is not to administer punishment. That's not what we're here to do. But she's going, well, what do I do with all the anger?
But I am entitled to my anger.
Exactly.
Like, so what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah. And that spurred Monica Joan on to do that. And I thought the next thing when they're in the apartment house, and she's Monica Joan says, hey, Sister Julian's not here. I'm the old one.
Follow me.
My directives, and I've been very specific about them.
Right.
Yes. And I honestly didn't know where it was going. Did you guys have any clue that they were going to go down this? down this road? Because I didn't know what they were doing, what they were looking for.
No, actually, no.
I wasn't certain.
Yeah.
No.
And I didn't recognize the hall or the door. I didn't until we saw
when they were standing at the door, I was like, we've seen this door before. But I had no idea why.
Yeah.
No.
So we find that they're there to talk to Kat's sister. And then we learn from her what happened, what's transpired since the event in the bathroom, and how Kat is not returned, and she had barely heard from her, and the fact that she can't even look at her because her face reminds me her of what happened in that bathroom, and you're just
and how her life was altered by exactly. the whole
exactly.
thing.
So we're getting all that stuff, and and I did like the Monica Joan Sister Frances dynamic going on. Did you guys like that?
I did enjoy that.
Yeah,
I did enjoy that.
Yeah, I thought they just every once in a while they just look the face of Sister Frances. And she has that cherubic innocence.
Yeah, she has the like prototypical angel face.
Angel face, exactly, for sure. So. And then when they go to the cosmetic shop with where Kath is working, and they obviously are like,
"Hey,
hi, service.
How's it going?"
You're obviously not here for makeup or cosmetics or whatever is sold here, but
maybe skincare. Yeah. Maybe is that allowed?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Fish out of water, but they took charge anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other really interesting moment was when the morning of what do we got? There you go.
We've
Thank
got
you
the
very
angel
much.
Jeff,
puts it up on the appreciate that. But so the day that they're doing court, Val's just outside. Phyllis is just coming in. We'll talk about Phyllis later, but Phyllis is just coming in, and then Sister Julian meets her on the way out, and they have that little moment where she's Val is surprised that Sister Julian is going to be at her side.
You're coming with us, she says, and Sister Julian says,
"Yeah,
you were born into our hands. Your trials are ours." Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Yeah, no.
Since her hood is disowning her in this moment, it was nice.
Where else would I be but by your side?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and that was
nice. I appreciate
that. She forgets, you know, she even though exactly one neighborhood might be disowning her, so to speak, and I'm sure not every one of them, but that was the only one we saw.
For sure.
She still has all this support. And so they do go to court. And then just as that surprise was what was surprising to Val, at the court, Julian's really surprised when Monica Jones shows up with Francis.
It'll all be revealed.
Exactly.
Move over.
Just move on down.
Get out of the way.
Wow.
So
let's talk about the court. How did you feel? We have never been in a courtroom sequence.
We hadn't been in a courtroom.
I don't remember that.
I wasn't sure what to expect.
Yeah.
Pretty empty, actually. I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah.
Especially with the uproar on Poplar. You would think that there might be more people there who had sort of the personal stake in Gran's you know, livelihood and all of that. And but, really, she just had her one friend.
Yeah.
Well, she had Aunt Flo.
Yeah.
Was there. And then there was another person. I don't know who that was, but And maybe it was because they didn't tell anybody. I mean, obviously some people knew. Maybe they just, or maybe those who were supportive, it was like, man, I don't know if I want to show up because who's going to be looking at me? I don't know.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Don't take a position in public.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And
so Trixie testifies and she refers to Jeannie.
Right.
Who died after getting sepsis.
So we get,
And it was hard, and she was upset.
She got cross-examined.
She did.
She tried to be a jerk and talk about, because she was the fitness instructor, somehow that wasn't relevant and all of that.
And demean, and like puts her, trying to put her in her place. Yeah, put her down.
Let's see, accuse the accuser. What is it? No, it's not something. It's like the put down the investigator. Wait, I'm not exactly sure. How does that
work? I don't know.
What was
your strategy?
As Courtney said, jerk.
He was just being a jerk with a bad wig, by the way.
They're all bad wigs.
I think the whole investigation was a witch hunt.
Yeah.
It was.
And I didn't see any warrants when they took those tools from Grant's house. just saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. All right, so...
So then Cass turns up.
Well, you know what? There are two moments one moment, I should say. Before this, we forgot where they march Gran right by.
They perp walk around behind us.
And then Val says, is this what it's come to?
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, so anyway, then that's when we see that Cass shows up. It's like, oh, what? Boom, reveal. Okay, yeah, she's there, and she's there to testify, because she does, you know, too much of this has happened behind closed doors, and, you know.
We need to talk about it.
Exactly, we need to talk about it, and so therefore she is going to talk about it. And I thought her testimony, obviously compelling, you know, we get to hear firsthand what actually happened, what she remembers and all that other stuff.
And her 10-inch scar and how she's always reminded of it.
Right.
And she talked about how 7 pounds, it didn't seem like much, but it's a price I keep paying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Over and over.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I want to get into this a little bit.
Okay.
So when... I mean, we can finish the story, but this is sort of where it started to like become a little problematic for me. So do you want to talk about that now?
No, that's
so, okay. So when Monica Joan and Sister Frances come in with Kath, mm-hmm. it was one of those moments where I felt like I was supposed to feel vaulted or pleased,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know that they had brought
here to save the day.
Exactly,
right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know, I mean, it's that thing of we're convicting Grandma if we support the trial. And I know there's not an easy way out of this. Yeah. And like Lee talked about in the chat, Val's between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, there's no, there's
and
no
there isn't like a good right answer to this, but it just it felt so strange to me. It was part of. Why I felt a little disappointed in the episode was I didn't feel really connected to any of the arguments, mm-hmm. you know, emotionally connected,
right. mm-hmm.
except for like I wrote sad, but I didn't, as you guys know, I put tears next to the things that actually make tears happen in my
the tears actually
notes,
end up on your notes.
And my things get blurry. But I just wrote sad next to Kath's testimony
mm-hmm.
and sad next to Trixie's testimony.
Sure.
When, which is this, you know, my interpretation of my own experience of it as mm-hmm. being, wow, I was sad. It's like mm-hmm. talking about being sad versus feeling it.
Yeah. I completely agree. Because I feel like I don't know if... The writers were trying, because like you said, there's no right answer, there's no wrong answer, but then you sort of want me to feel like these women are complete victims and, oh gosh, what they've gone through is so terrible. But they're not, because they're complicit in their own sort of situation, and it just didn't, no one's position or story was harder or more wrong than the other, and they didn't come down on one side one way or the other as mm-hmm. writing for the whole episode. And I assume they're waffling on purpose, so they're not choosing a side, like this is wrong or this is right or whatever. But in doing that, I just feel like we were just kind of like, okay, but we already knew this happened, we already experienced mm-hmm. the horror of it, but then we also know that these women chose to do it in hopes that it would mm-hmm. go well, knowing it might not. So and how do we sit in court, put Grandma in jail for 6 years and think it's all fine? But then they did kind of round it out a little bit for me when Grandma speaks to Val in jail. And she says how all of you and your education and all of that, like, until you change the laws, like, the whispers will continue and all of that. So it kind of helped. But I don't know. I just kind of was like, I feel like we beat the abortion horse and didn't really do anything with it.
Mm. You know, speaking to that, I almost wonder if those were, like, network notes. You know what I mean?
Do they even get network
notes? Who knows if they get network notes there. But, you know, a lot of times in you know, films and in TV, when things start to go south, it's when, you know, producers or networks come in and start giving notes to the creator writers, and the story gets really muddled because they want a car chase and a girl with long legs, you know, in the historical drama or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm making light of it. But it almost felt like, because I feel like Heidi Thomas is a brilliant writer.
Yeah.
And she gets to the heart of it all the time. And granted, this episode was a little bit different. It, mm-hmm. it sort of left the typical call the midwife formula, mm-hmm. but it almost felt like there was someone else telling her what to do in a way, because it wasn't as clear cut as some of the other stories are were emotionally.
Emotionally, yeah.
I don't mean because we know the story's not clear cut, but the emotions were not as defined. I think.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think it was right to, you know, obviously there's no clear answer mm-hmm. for any of it. And I think that's what she was portraying. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm completely guessing. This is total conjecture because who knows?
Right.
But I have to say what I thought that she was going to go for, because she kept ringing the bell that Val, I can't believe I have to testify. I can't believe it. And what am I going to do?
Yes.
And
Val didn't have to testify.
Val didn't have to testify. And I thought for me, it would have been more powerful if you had to put her in the box Put her in the box, having to speak against her grandma. Because all along, we've been hitting them. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Put her in the box. That's the hardest place for her to be.
That would be incredibly heart-wrenching.
And I thought, and I think, you know, we went on the detour to go find Kath and everything. And I thought they did that because, you know, they wanted the first-hand account of what it was like to go through this.
Right.
I thought that was effective.
That's important.
But in doing that, you also have to spend time to remind us who Kath is. You got to spend a lot of emotional real estate. So all that energy and emotional momentum we had with the Gran and Val storyline got detoured and taken away for the intellectual. I'd say, who's this? How do we do that? Oh, that's right. That's so-and-so. And all that emotional momentum, I thought, got waylaid in doing that. And if you had had Val force her to get in the box, the last thing she wanted to do was to speak ill of her Gran in court, put her in the box, have her have to do that, and have grandma sit there and see the effect it had on her granddaughter, that would have been stayed with the emotion. Now, what you would miss in that is the emotional impact of what Kath's story was on Gran. But I don't think that they, unfortunately, I don't think they made that work as well emotionally. I think that's why we didn't feel it.
Well, and we're more connected to Val her relationship
for the
with
last
grandmother
three
then.
Episodes. It was all about Val and Gran and that building that relationship, severing that relationship. No. How are they going to get back together? And I think that for me, if you had stayed with the Val Gran storyline here, instead of Trixie getting cross-examined, if Val gives her story reluctantly, and then even in doing that, then you have the defense cross-examiner telling you, saying, "Well, you're not impartial. Start ripping her to shreds because that's what they're supposed to do." And then you see Gran have realize, "Oh my God, I've not just ruined other women's lives. I'm ruining my granddaughter's life."
Yeah.
That would have been have an emotional component that we didn't see 100%. Or didn't feel.
And I think that's a really great, you know, alternate ending. Could we choose our ending or could we choose our thing? Because that would be more fulfilling emotionally. And we kind of got there.
We did, but
when
Val
visits Gran in jail.
My intellectual thought was that but I want them to know the firsthand count of what Kath went through because I want Gran to hear that from somebody who I did it to, because she until then she was kind of delusional and nicely lying about it and not really
not
affected by it. So that was the reason why I think they went that way. I just think for an audience, we had been going down the Val Gran emotional line that by taking that detour, we lost some of that emotional.
So Merle Ortega talks about how in Great Britain, it's the crown for it, which is the equivalent of the prosecution for us in America. It's the crown for the people. So one
thank
of the
you.
Things that I, thank you, Merle. So what I was thinking of was the other thing that you could have done is following your storyline of Val having to testify, Gran deciding to change her plea to guilty to stop Val or to interrupt Val's testimony because she knows she's ruining her granddaughter's life. Then, I don't know if they have this in Britain, but we have the sentencing hearing in America. And there's victim impact statements.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's something, anything similar to that. Obviously, I don't know that. Yeah. But, you know, the victim impact statement could have come in. And that's where you could have gotten the connection of Kath seeing what happened to Gran. Yeah. So now that's how the whole show goes in my head. I changed it in my own head. It would have shifted a lot for us.
That's a nice little detour for us. But what we did see is the scene after she gets, Gran gets sentenced 6 years. And
six years.
Yeah. But
she killed somebody.
That's not what she was convicted of. Or was she?
Did they not consider that?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe.
Since we don't know the legal system in Britain as well.
Maybe that tied into the sentence or not. I don't know.
It was less than it could have been, though.
But I don't know if they actually proved that she killed that woman. They still have to prove that, and I don't know that they did that in this court.
Yeah.
But anyway, but regardless, we do get... I thought that was, again, the scene between Val and Gran at the end when she sentenced Val is crying and trying
until
to apologize
you girls,
as well.
With all your thinking and all your learning, work something out with the men... Yeah. Who make the law, there will be names whispered and money changing hands.
All right, go ahead.
Yep, it's all the men's
fault.
It's
the man. The man keeping us down.
You know, and now Gran's got to go to jail for 6 years. She's probably going to die there. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks,
that's right.
Man.
Hey,
who's going to tend to her boils?
The man. Right?
Her carbuncle.
Her carbuncle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So sad.
But that does set the stage for what does happen. in Britain, because they obviously did have those. Right,
they just a couple years later changed. So,
yeah,
and she wasn't wrong until you guys.
Yeah.
You're on it. Yeah.
That part.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Right.
So that's true. But at the end of it, what was, I wish they had spent a little, even that, because we didn't really see Val after that. She was dressed in the, you know, and all this stuff, and she was kind of still hollow and gaunt. But there was no, beyond that, there was no Julian coming, you know, because I thought for sure, I'm going to be there by your side. Then I thought there would be something with Julian at the end. Exactly.
Sort of moment.
Because you're still, even though you did your duty and your grand, you're not going to visit your grand anymore. So we'll help you through that as well. And it probably happened, but I wanted to see it actually on the screen.
Right. Well, and, you know, maybe they ran out of time.
Well, they had to do the thing. Like 1,800 stories.
Yeah. Is true. And speaking of which, we got to get to the others. So let's move on.
But before we do, we want to make sure we thank you guys for watching us all this season and all the other shows that you guys watch on AfterBuzz TV. Because of you, we have become the ESPN of talk. And of talk television, because we love TV. So we want to remind you guys to make sure you click that subscribe button under our YouTube video right now. So you're subscribing and you're getting all our videos. And make sure you go over to iTunes and give us a rating. We like fives, but if you want to give us less than a five, let us know why. Give us some comments. Put comments in the YouTube. Put comments on iTunes. We respond. We like to talk to you. We appreciate you. We thank you guys so much for being fans and keeping us doing what we love to do as well.
All right, let's talk Schrader.
Way better than I did that last week.
You got to talk to Schrader.
Without you.
Talk to Schroeder.
So the Schrader family is having a challenging time right now. Ina, is it Ina, right? Ina is pregnant with her
fifth
child,
it's,
I believe.
Too many kids.
Yeah, exactly. It's at least four. It's probably five. I'm not sure.
I only saw two other ones.
Even Julie couldn't figure out how many brothers she had because they're just running around.
Yeah.
So Julie is the oldest, and she's 17, and she's got Hodgkin's, and she's already been through radiation. We see that she has burns on her. Yeah, it's like, yay. And that poor thing. They're all, I'm going, oh, no.
Yeah.
Were we all thinking that she's...
I thought she was going to die, for sure. Mm-hmm. We were going to get our heartstrings pulled.
Yeah.
One of my friends called the midwife, kill the midwife. and he was assuring me, as he had seen the episode before. Right. He has a body count every week. Does. And was just assuring me before any of us had seen it that it was definitely going to be kill the midwife, because somebody always dies in the finale.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a death.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
We did not.
Again, another Hallelujah. Surprise. Oh, well. But certainly Julie needed some help. Sister Hilda was attached to help her through this. Do the bandages. She brought the
oxygen
tank, exactly, and
some little extra sparkle.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Some extra sparkle. But what I liked most is how they were playing the idea that her other doctor and nurses that she went
for treating her.
Yeah, they're saying there's no hope. There's nothing left we can do. They gave her no hope, and then Lucille's the one that said, "Well, no doctor.
You don't do that. Tell you that
exactly.
That's not what you do.
But seriously,
but there are those people. No, just give it to me straight. I don't want to know.
Yeah,
but she's 17.
I know exactly. I was just going, wait, you did what?
You told her give up, girl.
Exactly.
You're done.
Sorry.
At least tell her to pray. Jeez.
But of course. That would not fly with the midwives of the nuns in the nurse's house, because you just can't do that. But I thought Hilda didn't even. It's not like we ever saw Lucille have a discussion with Hilda about this, you know. But of course, Hilda. First thing is, you know, she's there to make sure there's hope.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's completely, you know, infusing her to, you know, think about this beyond just this moment, beyond, you know, think about what it's like, you know, helping her dad see it differently and all that other stuff. I thought that was a great storyline.
That was great.
That was very, very midwife.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
For sure.
And I just, dad's story with his sister and his
who was, her skin was like a thin as a leaf. And,
and he barely felt her when she died on his shoulder.
Man.
Starvation is real.
Yeah.
Jeez. And he said, I thought Julie did not need my love. Right. And now I don't feel like I can give it.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Sorry.
Like, what?
I probably popped somebody's ear.
No, I get
right
that,
there.
Though. I get that, though. I mean, seriously, I get that. Because you haven't done it for so long. And then it's just, you know, and first of all, it's not his child. So there's that issue.
Right.
And who knows how much of Julie reminds him of his own sister.
I'm sure.
All that other stuff. So, and then you get into the habit of not really being overt about those things and then not knowing how.
Right.
And then that's your modus operandi.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And, you know, she's 17. What can I do for her now?
Right.
And she's...
Love her.
Love her. She still needs it.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So just back a little. Hilda says, you know what? I think you should go to the ball.
Yeah.
The Turner's Dance, which we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
Pardon me while I touch my tiara. and so she measures her for a dress.
Yeah.
Because we're, you know, that's just what the doctors order.
Yeah, as, hope.
As Lucille says.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all about, like, trying to get her ready, trying to get it going.
Well, yeah.
And then she has a setback. Poor Julie. Yeah. Starts like feeling really bad.
The house was the Make-A-Wish Foundation or something, so we're gonna let you go to the ball. So,
come on, Cinderella.
Make this happen for Cinderella.
Exactly, Cinderella. Yeah,
so, right, there's some moments where she's anemic. She's not feeling well. She's anemic.
Can't get an ambulance at all.
The doctor has to carry her out of
so
the house.
Her carriage of rats and pumpkin isn't showing up.
Don't
fairy
show
godmother
up.
Hilda.
Right. And she's really reluctant. Yeah. She's like, no.
Because I'm not going to get the car.
I can go to the dance like this.
I'm going to dance just like this.
I'll be fine. Because she knows if she gets a transfusion, that takes time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but then they make it happen.
They make it
and then,
work.
You know, of course, Dad puts together the mirror ball.
The mirror ball that Fred broke.
How did that make its way to the dad?
It was part of a montage. Who knows?
Magical things happen during montages.
he gets the idea. When Hilda's talking and she said, you know, you do need to love her. You need to reach out. You need to, you know, help her in any
support
way you can.
Support her. You're right.
You know, she wants to twirl underneath the mirror ball. And that's where he gets, because she says, unfortunately, that won't happen because our janitor broke it. So that's where the idea comes from. And somehow it didn't happen on camera, but we can assume he went to the janitor.
Let me go find him. Exactly. Let me go find the mirror ball.
That's my jam. Fixing glass.
Guys want to fix something.
And guys want to fix things.
That's what I can do. You didn't like that?
I didn't like But it goes back to all these random, like, not quite emotional connections I had throughout the episode. Like, it was just kind of like, I'm sure I'm supposed to be, like, into that moment and think, he's making the mirror ball work.
Right.
And I just wasn't.
When they're dancing on the mirror ball and you have the last image is the mirror ball.
No. I mean, it was sweet. I was mostly wondering who Trixie was dancing with, but we're not there yet.
I was wondering that too. Me too.
I was like, whoa.
Oh, and
but
in the middle
she
there,
watched her baby.
Ina has a baby.
Yes. She gives birth.
Ina has the baby.
Ina.
Oh, right. Ina. Yeah. We just talked about that, didn't we? I just looked down at my notes, though. Yeah. It said Ina. It says Ina on my notes.
Yeah.
No. Very different
Julie
from Ina.
Gets to hold her sister.
My eldest and my youngest.
Yeah. First one, too. And, but. Did you continue the idea? Oh, she's already got high. She's someone's gonna die, and she held the child. She was the first to hold the child, so yes, of course she's gonna die.
I did think, because she hadn't had the transfusion yet at that point.
No,
the baby came, and I did think she might die, because then they did that long shot of her in the hospital with her eyes closed and the blood dripping.
Yes,
I'm like, is she really just gonna pass away? Like after all, Oh, she's awake.
And then I thought they might do that, and then the dad was gonna dance
with
the
baby,
newborn
baby
daughter,
and
maybe not make the same mistake.
Yeah. But they didn't.
No.
We let Julie live.
Yes, we let Julie live. We don't know how long. But, and she did get her dance. She got the twirl under the mirror ball.
Yes. And Daddy picked her up and spun her around. Yeah, it was quite sweet. Quite sweet.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
Right. So, and was there any more about the Ina? Does anybody have any?
No.
Yeah. You know, she cried. She had big ankles when she gave birth. That was...
That's the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
She really loves her daughter.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So then we have the ball that Sheila decides she's going to do. The ballroom of hope.
Yeah, because she knows May's going to go. What else am I going to do with my time? I have to. I've got to divert my
attention.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to get an incubator.
They're going to rip this child away from me, who I've just fallen in love with, and it's going to. Yeah. So in order to just put that out.
Yep.
I'm going to do something. Yeah.
And then right away she's reminded by, let's make a dress for Angela for the ball.
Yeah.
And May goes, I want one too.
The first time we hear May speak for real.
Exactly.
Can I have a dress?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
No,
girl.
Sorry, honey.
No.
I'll make one for your doll.
Yeah.
Thanks. I don't want one for my doll. I want one for me. Yeah. Honey, you're going to be not living here right now. You're going to be at your lovely adoptive home.
They did the classic child. Yes. Driving away, we can see you in the backseat.
And you see just her finger. Face.
Just her finger.
Her face and her little fingers.
Well, the one thing I will say that I appreciate, I felt nothing at this time, but I was glad I felt nothing because it made me know she's not leaving for good.
Yeah.
Because the way that they set that whole setup, them kind of coming out of the house, like it was so not call the midwife, like rip my soul apart. Yeah. Like we're taking this girl forever. Like I knew she was coming back.
Yeah.
And I knew she was coming back this episode.
Yeah.
Because there was just no way the way that it was. No.
Yeah. They're not
she
making us wait till Christmas for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like they weren't upset enough. Like it was a whole. Yeah. She was coming
so
back.
The whole idea of put on a happy face and this is what we did for her.
It didn't work.
They didn't buy that.
We totally knew it was a joke.
Right. So we need to speed it up a little here.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Okay. But that shot was.
Yeah,
it was sad.
Sad. With it, was sad.
It was sad.
So we're gonna have a tombola.
Yes. Yeah, that sister
I was
Monica
excited
Jones
about.
Is gonna take care of.
I love me some tombola.
I didn't Google that.
Oh, did you?
I was like what?
Yeah,
this word came up three times this episode.
It's a European thing.
Yeah.
And Sister Monica Jones wants to run it. Yeah. Cyril helps. And Cyril gets to see the girls in their slips.
And you know what? Why were y'all in your slips in the kitchen?
Because that's where the pins are and the ironing board. Yeah. The ironing board. Believe me, I've been standing in the kitchen in my slip with the ironing board out many a time.
I don't iron.
Yeah. But you think, you know.
When you're making your dress.
Yeah. I guess, don't make things.
Yeah. You're not living in 1964 as an adult.
True, but I mean, yeah, and I guess you don't think that some guy's just going to come waltzing through at the nun house.
It was cute and funny. Yeah, it was.
And Monica Jones like, wow, I just went by here.
How everyone's, you know, and Lucille's covered up completely. And Trix is done. Yeah, just a little thing. Yeah.
It's like, I'm normal.
So then we hear that May's adoption has broken down.
Oh, what? Do you have enough petrol? Go, go, go! Yes.
Okay, so.
it literally felt like a joke.
Here's part of my criticism about that. Mm. It happened off screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, this is what I thought. I don't know why, but anyway. I just wanted to see May at that home, brought back to the home, where all the kids are playing off to the side. She's not, and all she's doing, because we made a big deal of it, she's just staring at the door. Wait for someone to come through and no one is.
Yes,
and
yes,
and then
yes,
see the moment where somebody finally does come through and see May light up.
And she knows she's going to the place she knows is home.
Yes. That's what I was hoping.
Because even when she came home and they're like, May, do you know where you are? Yeah, like that was anticlimactic as well. She wasn't like, oh, hi. Yeah, and Angela wasn't there to be like, May, it's back. Like it wasn't colored at all with enough colors.
But I'm happy she's back because I know Angela's going to love it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, exactly. Yes, so we didn't want her to go.
Bring her home.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I mean, maybe you can't get this out of an actress that is that young, but like Angela being sad might have been something to see.
Yeah.
Because they weren't even there for her to go away. Like, that's why it was just not. Yeah.
So then we see everyone getting ready for the ball.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Getting in their dresses.
What do we think?
Putting
ladies
in their
fashion?
Colors. And then the fashion, the ball dresses. Those of you who are seeing me on YouTube know that I've worn a tiara today and a sparkly top. Top with sparkles on it. Because any chance I have to wear a tiara, I do. Because Val was wearing one, I thought I needed to wear one as well. I loved the variety of the three dresses.
Yes, I agree.
I have to admit, because you're going to be right. I didn't pay enough attention. I don't remember what they were.
How could you not?
I just remember
first of all,
on
they had cinch waists and big skirts,
and big
which
skirts.
We have not seen in quite some time.
No, because we've been looking at trapeze dresses for years now.
And they had multiple colors. I mean, we had a bold gold on Val.
That's the one
I
remember.
We had green and white on Lucille. Then we had like what was that? Burgundy and like
and the gold
cream
the
and
brocade, the cream and gold brocade.
On top on you saw.
Yep, there's Val's dress and her tiara.
There you go. Yeah, I remember the gold. That's it. I remember the gold.
Yeah.
No. It was beautiful.
It was
and then there was, did you see that green sparkly dress at the ball?
Yes!
I did note that one.
Yes.
There's some pretty dresses.
It was pretty.
And just the shots of them on the staircase at Nanana's house.
Yeah.
Like, they've had a few of those coats and all kinds of stuff. It's really pretty, and
I love that.
It.
And I will say, we talked about it, but I put it in a different place in my notes. When Mr. Schroeder picked Julie up and did the twirl, that was the one time I got a little teary.
Right.
which is, I think, one of the very last things that happened in the whole show.
Yeah, it was like one of the very last scenes. Yeah.
Because it was a father-daughter thing. That always gets
father-daughter thing.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. Val and... Vi. Or I mean, Vi and Fred and Reggie. So
Fred's... Fred's having problems. Yeah, it's like, where are we going to go? What is it? With his prostrate.
With his prostrate. And how Vi is so upset that her baby boy, Reggie, and even Fred, they're just not jolly like their normal smiles. And it is so upsetting. It brings her to tears.
Her boat is rocked.
It is so rocked. Yeah.
She cannot handle
it. She's like, I can't.
She's trying to work with Cyril and get him his things, and she just bursts into tears.
And Cyril
has
like,
to get a handkerchief. She looks at the price. All right, this one isn't too good to work.
The hanky with a tag. Yeah. Cyril gives her some good advice.
Yeah.
They need to talk.
Men need to talk.
That's right. Over a pint.
Yeah.
And I love to talk too. You got to go. Yeah, great. I have a problem with the waterworks. Okay, done.
It's over.
That's it. We talked. We're done.
Men sure know how to talk.
Yep, they do.
Yeah, that's it. And it's, when she says, you didn't get her last name.
I know.
And she's asking all the questions. I'm going, yep. And yeah, I would not have gotten all that detail either. It would not have crossed my mind.
No. Well, you sometimes get them right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Reg, he writes a letter to Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Jane. I love you. Okay, babe.
Maybe we're going to roll it back a little bit. We don't want to come off stalkery.
Just a little.
As opposed to the way Ms. Higgins would write the note.
Right.
The poetess.
Right. And also, he writes a note to Dr. Turner.
Yeah. I thought that note was perfect. It was right on.
He's very man. Very man.
He's sore and he's sad. So Fred, who's pretty sure he's dying this entire episode, discovers... Oh, he has an infection. So that storyline was like...
It kind of snuck up on him. Sorry.
Like Dr. Turner. That's where the rim shot comes in, Jeff.
Yeah, that whole scene. I didn't need that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's not dying. He needs penicillin. Jane shows up at the dance.
Which I did say was sweet. It reminded me of Life Goes On, which was my favorite show when I was a little kid with Porky met his wife. Yeah. And I used to love that show, so I appreciated that moment when they were like... And when he said, when they asked, oh, is she pretty? And he was like, no, she's beautiful.
No,
like, I love you,
beautiful.
She's beautiful.
Yes, she is.
So
we got to get moving. Okay, last storyline. Phyllis and Mrs. Higgins.
Yeah. How is Higgins going to steal Sergeant Wolf?
And Sergeant Wolf, what?
Steal? I think Phyllis is going to facilitate.
She did.
Yeah.
She saw sparks and she encouraged.
Yeah.
But she just never got to let herself fully embrace that it was possibly happening.
Yeah, I mean, she early
okay, but
days,
seriously,
she
don't we think that Mrs. Higgins and Sergeant Wolf belong together?
Much better,
better couple.
But it was still sort of abrupt.
I agree with you. I still think the whole Phyllis storyline, when she was talking to the seal, saying I've been cowardly about this, and then it never went anywhere. We never saw any kind of resolution.
Just to like hand him over, unless we're gonna get like a jealousy thing with the old ladies next time. Interesting. But I was like, she admitted that she was being a coward, which means she was interested, and then to just like toss him to Ms. Higgins.
Or maybe she's just cowardly and not being upfront with him about how she's not interested. Okay, either way, she just wasn't upfront and wasn't brave.
Just real quickly, Merle Ortega is wondering what the tombola is. It's a little like a gambling thing. It's basically it's like a raffle.
It's like a raffle.
It's like a raffle. Okay, so that is that.
Okay, but I actually am looking for the fact that Sergeant Wolf knew he goes, oh, it's patience.
The poet,
right. Yeah, exactly. And the sparks from them was
that
like, whoa.
Was hilarious.
And I just love the look on Phyllis's face going, looking between the two. Oh, I see what's going on here.
And realize she's been rolling her eyes at Sergeant Wolf the last couple of weeks.
This is her way out. I don't have to be brave. Just let them go.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Exactly.
And she loves chrysanthemums, and then he sent her chrysanthemums, and then they were dancing at the dance, and all was right and popular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so final thoughts on the show, and then I do have just some
final thoughts
on the show. I'm ready for the next seasons, and what we have more seasons coming. I think we're going to talk about, and I need more because I feel like this kind of fell off a cliff and kept going down.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting about this whole season series is that there were continuation stories,
right? Yep.
And we've never had that. They've all been never in this
they're
way.
Mostly,
They're almost completely self-contained episodes, and this, and I'm not 100% sure it worked this time. Mm-hmm. As far as the whole season goes, I loved that they did, some hard-hitting, newsworthy on the show.
Absolutely,
and I liked that. You go, John. We have 2 minutes left.
I'll defer my time. Go.
Okay. You'll thank you to the senator from West LA. Call the Midwife has been renewed for 2 more series.
Ta-da!
Series 8 is the highest rated returning drama across all channels in 2019.
Ooh,
and 2 more series of Call the Midwife have been commissioned by the BBC One.
Wow.
Series 9 is just about to start taping.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. And then, they'll do the Christmas episode. Right. So we're going to be seeing Call the Midwife all the way into 2022. Mm-hmm. They're going to be 8 episode seasons plus a Christmas show. And Heidi Thomas says, even after all these years, it still feels as though Call the Midwife has more truth to tell, more tears to cry, more life to celebrate, and more love to give. Now that makes me cry.
Bring it on.
Quickly, Jessica Raine had her baby.
Did she call a midwife?
She apparently did. Mm-hmm. They were spotted, she and her husband, Tom Goodman Hill, near London on March 2nd with their little baby. So
it's precious.
The last time they were photographed, she was pregnant. Right. I don't know exactly what the birth date was. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
I
she has
they
a
didn't
baby.
Photograph the birth.
Also, Call the Midwife comes to the United States March 31st. Oh. So we had the Christmas special air on Christmas in the U.S. So it's been a long wait. March 31st.
It's kind of rude
Sunday
how
night.
They do that.
It's kind of horrible. I don't know why they do it.
But we have more Call the Midwife coming our way.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Bring it on. Bring it
That's
on.
That's it.
We want more.
That's it, people. That all right. is all we have to say.
We got to wrap it up. We're sad to say it. I'm so glad we had this time together.
Love
just
you
to
guys.
Have a laugh or
it's
sing a song.
It's going
to
be 9 more months before we have another midwife
It'll
episode.
It'll be 2020.
Yes, I know.
It's weird. Be. It's sad. It's been great. Oh, also, Downton Abbey movie is coming out in the fall.
Oh, yeah, it's coming
so
in the fall.
So we're going to be there for it. Let's have you guys be there for it with us. Couple
we'll
people
a
have asked.
Show just for that.
I've got my British teacup. I'm ready to go.
I'm going.
Tankard, I think is what you call them there. Anyway. Okay. Hey, people, you can find me on Twitter at Tamara Berg, and my website's TamaraCentral.com.
I am everywhere at Stuart Starlet.
John?
John's laughing at
this
us.
This is so devolved. So we're going to say bye, and thanks again for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time on Call the Midwife.
We love you guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.